Hey, there you go. How y'all doing out there? Good, good. You ready for God's word this morning? Yep, that's why you're here, right? So Jenny said it in the very beginning, but in case, you know, I know Blue Mountain time tends to run about 5 to 7 minutes after the fact, so a lot of you guys missed that. And that is, this morning we are celebrating. We're celebrating, you know, 10 years ago that the vision came to pass, and God supplied the people, the resource, to launch and now sustain a Celebrate Recovery ministry, specifically reaching out to the hurting in our community. And 10 years is a milestone. That is a tremendous, you can clap. I think that's worth it. Absolutely. Lee was ready for it. You know, the time and the effort and the intentionality to reach out to the broken. And that is a hallmark of what the church should be about. And so, you know, the church is to be commended for supporting it and for, you know, just seeing how and trusting God, because it's really just, I don't know how God's going to use that. You know, I don't want to deal with those people. But here's reality, right? We look in the mirror, we are those people. Oh, amen. We're all those people. Okay? And so, what I have seen over the last 10 years is how the church has grown and become healthier as a result of intentionally reaching out to those who are hurting. And so, over the years, we've had various leaders, but, in the last 2 years now, Wes and Jess Neal have stepped up, and they have taken the reins, and ministry continues to flourish. And so, it gives me great joy to introduce Wes Neal to you this morning. Come on over, bud. As he's gonna bring God's word to you this morning as we celebrate, but also because God put a message on his heart. So there you go.
Is it gonna distract anybody if I slide this chair up? Is that gonna mess up the TV, Lloyd? If I slide up here? Nope. Everybody's good with that? All right. I was gonna do it anyway, but I'm just saying. Okay, we good? Yeah, see, everybody's a jokester. But man, God is good all the time. You know, we could probably turn around and just go home because Cliff already preached my message. Like, so yeah, see. But man. So first of all, let me just take a second just to kind of introduce myself. So my name is Wes Neal. My wife Jessica and I, we've been here at the church since 2012. In my past, I've dealt with all kinds of different. I've been a teenage alcoholic. So for all you young people, if you're out here and you're like 15, 16 years old, and you're wondering if there's something about CR that might be for you, I'm giving you the permission. Come to CR, first and foremost. I know what it's like to be in a situation where your life is kind of going out of control and you're not sure how to deal with it. So I want to make a special invitation to the young people in the congregation. If you're in your mid-teens, something's going on in your life, you need to work on a hurt, habit, hang up, come and see us on a Tuesday night. All right? Jessica and I, we got married in 2004. Again, we moved here in 2012, and in my past, I've been a youth pastor, I've been an associate pastor at another church in Cincinnati. Like I said, I've been an alcoholic. After I had been in ministry for a while, my body started to give out from my past history in sports. It seemed like every other day something orthopedically was starting to fall off or break or something. And guess what? As a pastor, I became a statistic in the opioid crisis. there's, we always look around. As Cliff mentioned in his prayer and was reading the scripture, there's always those times where maybe something in our life isn't pleasing to God. But because of Jesus, we can overcome that. And I think a lot of time in the church, the real message behind this message today is I think a lot of time that our past, while historically it might be in the past, we haven't dealt with it. And a lot of times that past is still coming right along with us every day of our lives. And sometimes we get stuck, not just in life, but I think we also get stuck spiritually, where we're not living up to our full potential. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. So again, good morning, church. Today is CR Sunday. I know everybody here is super duper happy. Hip hip hooray. It's CR Sunday. It's our yearly reminder that, hey, that thing in my past or the current flaw that, you know, is kind of standing in my way of being absolutely perfect. Hey, guess what? We can work on that. Just a quick reminder. Let's say, you know what, Wes? You know, that's great about we can work on stuff. But you know what? I think I'd rather just pretend, you know, that isn't there. I think I'd rather just push away, you know, all those hurts. I'd rather push away the hurts of my past. I'd just rather ignore my current hang-ups, my current habits. Just go on with life. I mean, you know, honestly, my life isn't that bad, right? I mean, really, I don't get angry and fly off the handle that often, right? You know, I don't use, this is your chance to insert your favorite coping mechanism here, whether it's food, drugs, alcohol, pornography, sex, whichever one might be you. I don't use that stuff that often, right? You know, I don't let the hurts of my past relationships with my father, my mother, maybe an old significant other affect my relationships now that often, do I? Right? I mean, I don't let opportunities that are right there in front of me to maybe serve in the church or be there for me in my job situation, I don't let those things pass me by because, you know what? I kind of look at myself as maybe completely unworthy. I don't do that often, do I? Right? People question the value of CR. To most people, Celebrate Recovery is only about addictions. Celebrate Recovery, hey, isn't that thing where the addicts and alcoholics in the church go? Isn't that it? You know what? There is this unsure feeling about why people go to Celebrate Recovery. Who can attend? As you just heard, anybody from mid-teens to insert age at the end of the obituary. Okay? So we're good on that. You can attend. Well, you know, don't I have to have an addiction? Nope. Well, I don't like how Celebrate Recovery works. I mean, I hear that they make you talk about, you know, all those old hurtful things in my past. I don't want to do that. Who the heck wants to do that? I hear this statement a lot. In fact, during one CR Sunday, someone actually got upset during the service and they said afterwards, shouldn't I just be strong? Shouldn't I just handle things on my own? Nobody wants to hear my problems. I just need to be tough. Isn't it just better to leave those things in the past? If you're sitting here and you've thought that about Celebrate Recovery, if those are some questions that you've had, we hopefully are going to explore and answer some of those questions during our time together today. So if you're ready, let's get started. Woohoo, that thing worked. All right. Clicker. All right. So why do people go to CR? Simple answer is for freedom. Our mission at RCR at Blue Mountain Community Church is to bring fellowship with God to those who are lost and hurting. And our vision at RCR is to release captives from hurts, habits, and hang-ups through biblical growth. How do we accomplish this biblical growth? Well, we accomplish it through this verse that's up there. It's in the book of James. James 5:16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed." Typically, when we're there on a Tuesday, that's where we stop. That's where we stop with the verse. But actually, there's a small little addendum to that verse. It kind of keeps going. And it finishes out and it says, "The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." And to me, it's in that final part of the verse that we see the process of healing that we work on in CR week in and week out. The effective prayer of a righteous man. That prayer of a righteous man. Part of being righteous in that situation is coming out of denial. It's the first thing that has to happen. If you know, there it is. You have to come straight out of denial. We have to be submissive. We have to be humble enough to accept that maybe, you know what, in life, we don't got this. If you come to Celebrate Recovery enough, you will learn that this phrase, "I got this," has led to a great deal of failed recovery. It may be leading you right now from enjoying your freedom from a hurt, habit, or hang-up. Because you feel like, you know what? I got this. You might be sitting there and saying, you know what? I went once or twice to CR and I thought, you know what, really? This isn't for me. My question is did you give it time? Did you give it an honest chance? Did you put any work into your recovery? In stepping out of denial, we have to give the program time. If you attended a CR once or twice and found it of no benefit, have you given yourself time for God to work on you about your denial? Have you allowed God to move your spirit at all on the issue that you're there supposedly working on? Or is it just a lot simpler to just revert back to making the same excuses? The first step of moving out of denial is a crucial part of making lasting change. It is accepting that a change needs to be made. And for that to happen, we need to give the program some time so that we can accurately assess ourselves. We have to give ourselves time, look at the situation, and be honest. Is there something there? If you're asking yourself this question, and you honestly know that there is something in your past, that there is an issue there, are you ready to step out of denial and join us on a Tuesday night? Right now, here's a little incentive. If I see everybody's head nodding yes, you know what? We can just stop and go home early. You know, so everyone's good. I'm just going to see everybody there on Tuesday night, right? No. No. All right. Fine. Be that way. I was prepared. If you do want to confront your hurts, habits, and hang-ups, you have to be willing to put in some work. Remember, you get out of your recovery what you put into it. And at Celebrate Recovery, we do the work. CR is a 12-step program. It's based on the Beatitudes. We work on our hurts, hang-ups, and habits. We work on not just moving past the things that have kept us stuck in life, but in healing the situation. Cliff mentioned in the scripture that he read, we may have been things in the past, may have been a lot of things, but because of God, we don't have to stay there. One of the differences between Celebrate Recovery and other 12-step programs is, in a lot of 12-step programs, you will, during your time to speak, you'll introduce yourself. Hi, my name is Wes. I'm an alcoholic. Hi, my name is Wes. I'm an addict. Celebrate Recovery. We have Jesus Christ. Our hope is to be, hi, my name is Wes. I am a recovered alcoholic. I am a restored addict. I am no longer that old person. That's our difference. We have recognized that something in our lives has kept us from reaching our full potential. And you know what? Now we're ready to work on that. And if we find a hurt or a hang-up or a habit, we're willing to deal with what we have found. In other words, we see that there is healing and recovery in Celebrate Recovery. So, in looking at James, we understand that the scripture says that we can be healed. So, the scripture says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. Scripture said it. We can be healed, right? So in looking at James, we understand that, but what can we be healed from? Well, as Cliffy says, we need to find out what the therefore is there for. So, our therefore comes in James 5, 13 through 15. So let's take a quick look at these verses. We can see in the first part of the verse, it asks, is anyone among you suffering? Well, are you suffering? Ask yourself this question. Is there a situation, an action, a thing in your past that keeps coming up? Kind of, it's in your spirit. It keeps coming up in your thoughts. Might come up in your actions. It might be something that you journal about often. But this thing, it affects you in a lot of your decision making or how we react to situations or people, for instance. So let's say maybe when your pride is threatened, is your first reaction get angry? Guilty as charged. Is there an event in your past? Maybe you look back to it when this situation happened. Or is there someone in your past that maybe hurt you? This left you feeling maybe alone or isolated, maybe without love. And so now you have become the perennial people pleaser. You just can't say no to somebody. Your happiness is directly impacted by whether or not the people around you are happy, not your own happiness. And you work yourself to death trying to keep everybody else around you so that they won't leave you. I'd like to welcome you to Celebrate Recovery. That's called being codependent. Maybe you suffered a trauma. You were hurt so deeply that you just find yourself lost. You can't find happiness. Not on your own. So over the years, you found these external means of feeling euphoria. Not happiness, not joy, just euphoria. And so for those people, those are the people that come and they may have developed an addiction to drugs, alcohol, pornography, sex. So my question, anybody here suffering? It's a pretty heavy question, isn't it? But thankfully, God is good. The very next line, look, something cool happens. It says, is there anyone that's joyous? Is there anyone cheerful? He is to sing praises. This is one of the most undervalued, underused parts of Celebrate Recovery, in my opinion. Are you already working on something and you're having success? And maybe in your spirit, you'd like to have some kind of acknowledgement of that on a week-to-week basis or month-to-month basis, where it's kind of acknowledged, yeah, I'm doing this. And have some people around you. Well, guess what? Little inside scoop on CR is that we celebrate the addition of new positive changes as well. We will give you a monthly chip on your successes. And your successes, it doesn't have to be the removal of something that is bad. It can also be the addition of something that is positive that you're already doing. So are you cheerful? Come then. Come and sing praises with us then at CR. Encourage someone else to make a change. Is anyone among you sick? Well, are you dealing with something like maybe smoking, drinking, overeating, taking too many pain pills? Whatever it is. Come and fellowship with others at CR. Those people that are further along the recovery journey than maybe we are. In our scripture, it says that person is otherwise known as an elder. At CR, we call them a sponsor, so that we may be anointed and have prayer with those that are sick in our recovery. We learn through this prayer how to navigate our stumbling blocks. For me, pain is a stumbling block to my recovery. Again, recovered pain pill addict. And not too long ago, just a couple weeks ago, I was experiencing some new pain in my bad ankle. If you don't know the story, I'm not going into the full long version of my story. Come see me later, because there is no short version. I'll tell you all about my bad ankle. But my bad ankle, it was swollen. It was probably a good 3 times larger than it should be normally. And it started to be filled up with pain. It was showing signs of being infected again. So Lee, who is my sponsor, and his wife Bunny, along with a few others from Celebrate Recovery, they prayed for my ankle. They anointed me. 5 hours later, I got up. I went to let the dog out. Leaned over, got up out of bed. There was no pain in my ankle. I looked down. My bad ankle was actually smaller in diameter than my good ankle. God is good. There's no reason not to come and be around believers. It's just a side little benefit, having your ankle anointed and healed. So, again, are you one of the sick? And then finally, in our scripture, in verse 16, it says, have you committed sins against someone? And that situation, again, continues to haunt you. Can I invite you to come and learn how to safely make amends to that person and to forgive yourself? God has forgiven us. But as believers, we often struggle in acceptance of that forgiveness. We can't see ourselves and our situations that clearly. Our lives, to us, they still seem out of control, and our lives just kind of seem, well, maybe out of focus. How could God see anything but our failures, our shortcomings? Doesn't he see my sins? So therefore, come and confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. Coming to CR it's not about finding forgiveness from God in the sense that you need it for your salvation. No, it's about healing from the way that we view ourselves and finding out what we can accomplish for the kingdom once we have been healed. So come and step out of denial that nothing in my past or present needs work. If you feel stuck in life, come and find freedom. God has a vision of something that he wants to accomplish through your story. There are some reasons why we have a CR here at BMCC, and those are some of the reasons why we have a CR here at BMCC. And for all those reasons and more, we still get the question, why do we do this? And as I was first working on this message, God spoke to my heart. He says, because we don't see ourselves the way that he sees us. We don't see the visions that God has for our lives, that he wants for us to accomplish. So let's take a look at the differences in the way that God's vision differs from our own. So what do we see? We see ourselves hurt and suffering. We see ourselves broken instead of redeemed and ready to praise. We see ourselves as sick instead of healed. When we look at ourselves, we focus on our imperfections. When we see ourselves, we see our big butts. I want to be a good parent, but I want to have a good marriage, but I want to be a leader at church, but I want to stop using this drug, but I want to get healthier, but I want to stop smoking, but I want to stop being angry all the time, but I want to be a better steward and start tithing, but all right, it's enough looking at our butts. By the way, did the yellow make our butts look big? Just saying. We miss what we are and what we can become in Christ just by finding healing and by following the example that we already looked at in James 5. that we're healed and ready the way God sees us. So let's take a look. How does God see us? God sees us restored. God does not look at us and notice the things that we are not. He sees us as who he says we are. Sound familiar already? Who he says we can become. Because he, through Jesus Christ, made us more than conquerors. God sees us already in that area of victory. But we have to get past ourselves. And in order to bridge that disconnect of between our vision and God's vision, we bridge that disconnect between what God sees and what we see by recovery. So, I'd like to invite you all to celebrate recovery. Each one of you. If you attend Celebrate Recovery, if you give it an honest try, you will not believe what God can accomplish through you and your story of what you thought that you were in the thing that he sees you becoming. God has called us to be something different. The Father wants to prosper each one of us. And we are called to his purposes. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "The Lord has something new for you because of how he sees you. He sees what he says you are through the recovery possible and available to us through Jesus. Because Jesus did come. Because Jesus did not leave us where we were. Because Jesus didn't leave us stuck without hope. Because Jesus said in John 10:10 that the thief came only to steal, kill, and destroy, but he came so that we can have life and have it to the full. We can conquer because of Jesus. God sees us the way he does because of Jesus. So let's change our list to the way God sees us. You can be a good parent because of Jesus. You can have a good marriage because of Jesus. You can be a leader of church because of Jesus. You can get healthier because of Jesus. You can stop smoking because of Jesus. You can stop using because of Jesus. You can stop being angry all the time because of Jesus. You can be that steward and begin tithing because of Jesus. God's because is bigger than our buts. Amen. Quickly, let's take a look at King David. So, in Samuel, we want to see how God sees David. God sees David as a king. Samuel, who was the last of the judges of Israel, he had the opportunity to anoint two kings of Israel. First king that he anointed was Saul. Saul was Israel's first king, and he looked the part, let me tell you, man. Scripture tells us that Saul was from a good family. It says in Scripture that Saul's dad was named Kish. And it says that Kish was a very important person. Saul was a big guy, put together. Where's Kyle Leininger? You know, just diesel. Just, you know. Saul looked like your prototypical Disney prince. Scripture says he was a head taller than everybody else in Israel. He looked the part. Saul was a failure. Scripture describes David, the successor to Saul, God sees them in a good way. 1 Samuel 16:12, it says, "So he, Jesse, sent and brought David in. He was ruddy with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance. And the Lord said, 'Arise and anoint him, for this be he. This is my next guy.'" Now, God was complimentary. He didn't get the build up that Saul got. You know, he wasn't the prototype Disney prince. But David was a lot more like us. He wasn't a failure by any means. David had some good accomplishments. He wasn't perfect either. David had some failures of his own. But ultimately, Scripture describes David as a man after God's own heart. Do you know what? Even though God has anointed David, that's how God sees him. It's not how David saw himself. In chapter 16, we find that he wasn't even on the radar of Samuel. Wasn't really on the radar of his family. Says that when all the sons were brought in for Samuel to come and take a look at, his daddy didn't even send for him. He kept him out in the fields tending the sheep. Jesse was like, "Yeah, you know what? I am pretty sure of everybody here. It ain't gonna be David." Now, God saw David as king. David's family sees David as a mess up. Samuel had to almost purposely ask Jesse, "Is this everybody?" Jesse was like, "Well, the youngest one," or in some ways that word conveys unimportant. In Middle East culture, anyone older is always greater than the younger one. David was seen as unimportant at best. But in some later scriptural context, I think we get a better look of how David's family sees him. It says, David's bringing provisions to his brothers at the battle line right before David is about to fight Goliath. David hears Goliath talking trash about God. You want to know something? David was not having it. David said to all the other soldiers that were standing around hearing Goliath taunt God, he said, "David, little guy, not the big tough guy, prototype prince guy, the little David." He looks around and says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God?" He's like, "Guys, we're not going to let this guy talk about God." And here we see where really how David's family views him. David's older brother, Eliab, he hears his brother say this and he erupts in anger. Because Eliab's scared. Goliath's a giant. But Scripture says Eliab's anger burned against David. He says, "Why'd you come down here?" He even accuses David of coming down for some evil purpose. And David responds, "What have I done now? Was it just not a question?" In that statement, I don't know about you, as somebody who also has some family problems, I can just hear the years of the kind of treatment that David endured. Can you hear that in that? The years of frustration in that? What have I done now? His family viewed him as a mess up. David's not unlike us. Maybe you identify with David here. When those close to us make us feel less than, it causes wounds, doubts, hurts, habits, hang-ups. Let's take a look then at how David views himself. Remember, David's aware that he is God's anointed to be the next king, and yet David sees himself as unworthy. After David slays Goliath, Saul is still serving as the king, and Saul offers David a chance to marry one of his daughters. David, even though he's anointed to be the next king, and he sees himself completely unworthy. He could marry Saul's daughter, be part of the royal family, but David says, "Who am I? What is my life for my father's family in Israel? I should be the king's son-in-law." David feels completely unworthy in spite of how God sees him. Again, David knows what God has said about him, and yet again, another time, one more time, Saul offers David another one of his daughters to be his wife. And David says to the king's servants that came to tell him the news, "Is it trivial in your sight to become the king's son-in-law? What, you guys think it's some kind of big joke? Yeah, I'm a poor man. I'm lightly esteemed. A poor man and lightly esteemed. You think that David maybe has some identity issues? Maybe he doesn't see himself the way God does? God has anointed him to be king. Lightly esteemed? Can you understand now that maybe some of our past experiences can affect our vision? This is how we stay stuck and in our unfulfilled potential. This is how we stay living our life in the butts. If David, a man after God's own heart, could benefit from recovery, where do you stand now? Are you still in denial that maybe, possibly, celebrate recovery might be of benefit to you? I'm here to tell you, you can be a good parent because we in CR right now have a person working on being a better parent after years of suffering with alcohol addiction. And now, according to her own adult daughter, that woman is not the same person that I grew up with. She is the most amazing mother that anyone could have ever hoped for. You can have a good marriage because at CR right now, we have two couples who, according to them, have worked recovery and they are more in love than ever. One marriage overcame an infidelity. One overcame a pornography addiction. You can be a leader at church because we have someone preaching a sermon today who was a teenage alcoholic and an opioid pain pill addict. You can get healthier because we have somebody in recovery right now who took control of her life after fighting years of being overweight. And she now actually coaches others on living a healthier lifestyle. You can stop smoking because we just last week had an attendee receive her 2-year chip from smoking cessation. you can stop using, because we have a young man who was in active addiction for a long time and in the brink of losing his marriage and stepchildren, and now he is a lead foreman at his job and he owns his own up-and-coming business. You can stop being angry all the time, because we have a gentleman who is constantly angry at his parents who abandoned him and spent most of his adult life being angry at everyone and everything. That person, he now spends many days of his week at the church working in many ministries and is one of the happiest, jovial people you will ever meet. You can be a better steward and begin tithing, because we have numerous families who did not know how to say no to many pleasures in life and are now devout and following the Bible and living for the Lord in every way possible, including with how they use their money. You can overcome a divorce, because we have multiple people who have had victory over that. You can overcome an IV opiate addiction, because we have a ministry leader who has overcome that in Celebrate Recovery. We have many people in victory over that. You can stop being codependent and living your life solely to make others happy and finding happiness in their lives, even though it's causing a detriment to your own and to your own well-being, because we have many victories over that. Church, do I need to continue? Do I need to continue? No. The question, are you ready to step out of denial and say, you know what, maybe, just maybe, I should possibly pop into CR and check it out? Because God is bigger than our butts. God's because is bigger than our butts. Music team, why don't you guys head up? Again, I would like to personally invite you to come check us out on a Tuesday night at 6:30. The doors open at 6. To come and see us at Celebrate Recovery. Folks, would you please bow your heads with me? Because maybe you're just at square one and you're just in denial about maybe your need for Jesus. Maybe you came in here today and maybe for the first time you heard some things about Jesus. Maybe today you were hoping to hear how Jesus can just change a life from going in one direction completely out of control. A life with no direction, no hope, no purpose. Maybe today, finally, you heard the hope that you needed in order to say, you know what? I think I would like to start living my life His way. And maybe start recovering from years without hope. Of having years without hope of having a Savior that loves me enough right now to work on me right now where I'm at. And also a Savior that loves me enough that He wants me to live in eternity with Him, where there will be no more tears. If everybody would close their eyes, if that's you today, would you just look up at me? Maybe raise your hand, kind of wave it around if that's you, so I could see you. If that's you today, If you're here today and have heard about CR, but have always thought, you know what? I don't need that. I got this. Would you commit to accepting an invitation to step out of denial and at least give Celebrate Recovery a chance to minister to you and possibly help you recover from whatever hurt, habit, or hang-up that you might be experiencing in life? Or, if you've added something positive, come rejoice with us about that positive addition. If you're willing to give CR a chance, would you raise your hand? I see you. I see you. If you would, just follow along with me in this prayer. Just repeat it after me. Lord Jesus, today I commit to stepping out of denial of the need to see myself with blurry vision and instead look at myself the way that you see me, to live my life as a conqueror, able to overcome all things through your shed blood and the power of your grace. Help me to say yes to the invitation set before me to accept that I need to recover from my old thinking of who I was to living my life as you have called me to be. I will commit to working on my recovery. Thank you for showing me the way, Jesus. Thank you for your grace. It is in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.